Preston and Steve Fun Size.
Earlier in the entertainment report, we got started on, or we began a conversation because Alec Baldwin has been...
ordered.
He pleaded guilty to, you know, harassment or whatever. Maybe you've gotten a fight over a parking spot and pushed a guy. And so he's been ordered to attend anger management classes. And so Casey was wondering out loud if that indeed works or not.
God damn, yeah!
Anger management, because your observation is that anger as an emotion is just something that's in you and you have very little control over when it rears its ugly head and so on. You just kind of see it as that way.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the situation.
And maybe going to, you know, once a week classes for 2 months.
Right.
Ain't going to cure this problem that you've had for a long, long time.
Well, I'll tell you something. Alec Baldwin's been to anger management a couple times before.
Yeah.
But he's not like there have been other things that people go to AA and have to go back and you do that. You know, but you're wondering because it's not like, well, I'm going to stay away from bars and I'm going to work on myself and blah, 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 blah. It's something you're carrying with you constantly.
Constantly. And you don't know when it's going to rear its ugly head.
Yep.
You know, whether you're...
Rear its Alec Baldwin.
Whether you're, I don't know, at a supermarket and somebody, you know, butts in line or, or is taking forever at the checkout counter or, you know, just something's not going your way or somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, like, perhaps we joke about something that happened to me a couple of...
Christmases?
Two Christmases ago.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, I lost my crap on this woman and... You know, in hindsight, I wish I would have reacted differently. Now, the woman did try to run me off the road.
Yes. And was shooting at you.
And she was not shooting at me.
I'll never forget it because he sent me a text. He goes, I just screamed Merry Christmas C-word out the window.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, the week of Christmas. So you were obviously really, really angry.
Yeah. And listen, I could have taken it further. I could have gotten out of my car and, you know, something those lines. And I didn't. But still, even that reaction alone, I was like, you're better than that.
By the way, before we continue the conversation, if you have been in anger management and want to share pros, cons, worked, didn't, whatever, 215-263-WMMR.
And as I brought up earlier, a friend of mine, actually a comedian friend of mine, did anger management, and it has helped him immeasurably.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the same way that someone carries their alcoholism with them, that's the way he looks at it. And so he deals with it on a daily basis. But there are certain things, like you said, the Serenity Prayers, iterations of that, that bring him peace. Preston, you were very candid earlier. You went through a phase that I went through. I think about the time you were going through it, where I'm like, why am I getting so mad? I have and all that's so wonderful? Mm-hmm. And then it's a self-loathing loop because then you feel like such an ass because you have so much in life. And you're like, why am I being this way?
Part of it was me, and I had this moment of clarity.
What kind would you call it if you were liking it to an 80s band? What would you call it?
An 80s? It was an aha moment. Yeah, to be honest.
Yes.
No, but... Jesus Christ. No, but I realized that as soon as that emotion starts to rear its head, I have to have the wherewithal and the clarity to be able to say, why are you getting mad right now?
Yes.
And are you getting mad for a good reason or not? And I started to do that, and I realized that I was getting mad a lot for not a legitimate reason. And like I said earlier, a lot of it was my own fault, and I didn't realize it until I asked myself that question. Why are you really getting mad right now? Why is that? And a lot of times, like I said, it was because, just to give an example, I would say to myself, well, you're just jealous that that person has got it better than you or whatever, and now you're getting
a handlebar mustache.
I can't think of it as specific examples, but it was enough to make me go, yeah. And getting mad is just a waste of my energy.
It's your ability to almost to make an editorial decision at the moment. Like the guy, you had the story earlier in the news of the road rage incident. You know, and I think about this in life. Once you step over that precipice, that dumb decision to go to freak out, to go nuts, and I've had a number of them in my life that could have ended horrifically. And we've talked about this many times on the show, but if it helps people avoid those things, once you tip fully, you can't come back.
Yeah.
This guy got shot, you know, but it was not his, we think it was not his fault. And in the road rage thing, he was shot by some lunatic.
Yeah.
Even if it was, he shouldn't have got shot.
That guy made a bad call.
Yeah. The hardest part about it is being able to stop and say, why are you getting mad?
Yeah,
and if you can get yourself to do that, you got a chance.
See,
I think. I'm not a doctor.
What else can you do but say, why am I getting mad?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to deal with control and not having control over something, right? And I'm not talking about a person. I'm just...
And that was an 80s Janet Jackson song, wasn't it?
Control.
Not me. Yeah. Control.
Yeah. I think most of our rage comes from 80s music. No,
but not being able to not having control over a certain situation, right?
Yeah.
And again, we mentioned the Serenity Prayer, you know, accept the things that cannot change, you know, and so that is just kind of releasing the fact that, like, okay, I can't control this. The only thing I can control right now is my reaction to whatever's going on right now.
It's also giving yourself permission to feel. I find the most horrific part of that whole thing is the beating yourself up for feeling that way. If you can give yourself permission that everyone goes through it now and then and they have that anger, that helps bring it down. It's just everyone. It's almost, and I realize that every time I do something like that, it's a very egocentric, narcissistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I must be the only, why me?
There's even a reminder that I try to tell myself, too, is, okay, so the reason you're starting to get, you're tensing up and you're building, that's because you're releasing certain hormones in your body that are making this happen.
Yeah.
And I try to say, it's a chemical reaction. That's why you're getting so blah, 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 blah. And you can try to tone it down and maybe breathe a little bit. It's a lot to think about. But
I think about the movie Inside Out and the anger played by Lewis Black and the fire shooting out of his head. You know, that sort of that image goes through my mind. And Steve, talking about, you know, thinking about yourself, the narcissistic feelings on it or whatever. What I try to remind myself of is the impact that my anger will have on other people.
Oh, that's a horrible part of it. Yeah.
And when you see their face, you know, and Preston, like, we've joked around about, like, how you reacted with the socks and your daughter. But when you saw your daughter's face, you felt terrible about it, you know, and I've yelled at my son and I've yelled at my girlfriend and things like that. And I hate myself for that, but I hate how it impacts them.
But later on, you unchained her.
Yeah. I mean, I let her out.
Yeah, I did. All right, I'm going to go to some calls. People who have gone through anger management or are currently going through anger management. I'll go to Ryan first of all. Hi, Ryan. Good morning.
Sorry to bother you guys at work.
That's all right, man.
Damn you!
What's up, buddy?
I went through anger management about 6 years ago. It was a good gateway, but I had some, you know, deep inner anger issues that. Once I got angry, I was hard to control, like you said, and then it would lead to rage, which then, you know, and it would come out on people that it shouldn't have come out on.
Yeah.
But it was a good gateway for me to get into other forms of recovery and types of like domestic violence classes. I mean, I went through the ringer, and if you want to learn from it and use the tools, it's a great thing. But if you're going to continue to go around the same people and the same things that you were doing, obviously, every day somebody's going to make you angry, right? You know, it's how you react to that anger, how you control yourself. You can't control anybody else. So when somebody cuts me off, not a big deal. Before, I used to get out at the intersection and we'd be throwing hands.
Well, you said the word tools. So when you start to add more to your mental toolbox, and you can hopefully pull those out and add to them. And you said it was a gateway. It opened you up to other forms of treatment. And has your life been enhanced? How would you say you are these days?
After 6 years of on and off classes, I'm a much better person now.
Okay.
It's noticeable from family members, friends. You know, people notice a difference in me. I'm not the same angry person I always used to be.
Good.
All right,
good.
So my question is this, though. When something happens that you're not expecting, like somebody cutting you off in traffic or whatever.
Or you win the publisher's clearinghouse giveaway.
No, that's a good thing, Steve. Right. When something bad happens and, I mean, like, your immediate reaction before you even have a chance to think about it is rage and anger. How are you able to tap into that toolbox?
You have to just stop yourself. It's an addiction, okay? And it's so quick to just, boom, go right to anger, where if you can just stop yourself for that 1 second, take a deep breath, think about what you're going to say or do is the whole, that's the whole key to what I've learned.
Maybe
it's one split second.
Maybe it's, yeah, maybe it's in that similar to substance abuse. When you start to get that urge,
yes,
you want to use something, you have to go, okay, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it now, and I need to use the tools that I've been given to divert myself to something else. So I assume that's where it is.
Exactly, and coming from forms of recovery, you know, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, sex addiction, there's many different forms. I believe that anger is taught, it's learned. I learned at an early age from first grade that if somebody was to hit me, somebody punches me, I punch them back. And that's what my parents taught me. So after 30-some years of hitting people back, it's really hard to break the habit of going straight to anger and just taking a calm approach to the situation.
Well, it's impressive that you've done it, Ryan. That's cool, man. Thanks for sharing the info.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It. All right, take care. Wow. Okay, so it sounds like he was really...
heavy duty.
I want to go to Allison, who is in anger management therapy right now. Hi, Allison. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
We are good. So how long have you been being treated? How long have you been treated?
Well, I'm not in anger management, but I'm in therapy for it.
Okay.
And it's been about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about the experience.
Well, they actually found, I have a really great therapist, a really great psychiatrist, and they actually found that a lot of my anger was coming from past concussions. So
past concussions?
Yeah. So I had to be treated for concussions and the concussion syndrome, and because of that, my anger has been a lot less, and I get to the point of dissociation and raging and throwing things and punching things.
You know, it's wild, Allison, because we were talking about Aaron Hernandez earlier.
Yeah.
And there was significant medical evidence to suggest that the concussions in his life might have led him on his path.
Yeah, now, CTE, right?
Yeah. So you can't, you know, homicide is homicide, and, you know, and obviously there's evil things that people do, but they said his brain was a mess when they autopsied him.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a wild ride, but
okay.
I'm really thankful for my therapist and my psychiatrist and
good for you.
How much they've helped me.
I didn't think about that. Thank you, Allison, that physical issues might
cause the
root of your anger. I had no idea. Let's go to a few other calls. I'm going to go to Justin next. We're talking about anger management. Hi, Justin, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So, you know, when I was a teenager, I'm 32 now, I got put in anger management by my parents. You know, their usual runaround, they didn't want to deal with it. High school drama. But, you know, it tend to get me more upset because they want you to talk about things. And at that age, I don't think that you're intelligent enough to realize exactly what's going on with your anger and whatnot.
So would you say it exacerbated the issue?
Yeah, big time. I mean, you would walk out of there and you'd be thinking about all the things that you just talked about that would already piss you off. You
know? Yeah. Was this in a group?
That was not. It was just one guy. You know, sometimes my mom would come in with me and he would just ask me, you know, what gets you upset? What does this? How do you feel about this? And it was just like he was pressing every button, you know, to get me to be upset. It was almost like counterproductive.
Well, it sounds like you were seeing the wrong therapist. I mean, I don't think age necessarily has to do with whether or not therapy is going to be successful. You know?
And, you know, throughout my 20s, I went through a lot of different things. And, you know, I recently have gone to therapy, and, you know, they told me basically I have PTSD, you know, from having so many things go on in life and just tucking them in the back and forgetting about them and trying not to, you know, move on from it or grow from it. You know, I had one of my best friends, you know, he got shot in the back of the head while I was shaking his hand.
All right.
While you were shaking his hand?
Yeah, I was walking up to him to give him a handshake, and somebody walked up behind him, and, you know, that was it.
You heard us chuckling a little bit, and it wasn't your thing. It was that there's a scene in
Central Intelligence
mm-hmm. where The Rock explains how he deals with it.
Yeah.
Just balls it up and pushes it down and
shoves it inside. Yeah.
And it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can't do that. And what happens is eventually you're going to explode.
Yeah. So how are you now?
So I'm 32 now. I think now I'm in a much better place just due to two things, you know, intelligence and experience. I think one thing that helps with anger is, you know, if you do have an outburst and you go to jail, you know, you get in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah, consequences, you know, so, for your actions.
For exactly. Some people, for some reason, it doesn't work for others. But yeah.
That's where I think the intelligence comes in. Because, you know, if you're not smart enough to realize, like, oh, crap, I'm going to end up in jail. I'm not going to get to see my kids. I'm going to lose my job. If you can't evaluate those things, then maybe you need to be put somewhere else. You know,
all right.
Because that's the type of people I think that are out here, you know, causing crimes that can't control themselves because they're not smart enough, or maybe they haven't received that help.
Well, then according to Casey, you could end up on the street as a dentist.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Justin. We appreciate it, man. Glad you're doing better. By the way, a texter pointed out, I think you guys should just look to Kathy for inspiration. I mean, she didn't lose one. Or she did lose one of her favorite restaurants, and she hasn't killed anybody yet.
Well, as far as we know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it happened last night.
Yeah,
so Redstone caught on fire.
There's a little time for me to get angry. I had somebody suggest that I needed anger management, like in a serious comment, and I'm not kidding you. My response was, "Are you effing kidding me?" Like, I literally freaked out, and I had to like stop myself. I'm like, "Oh my god." Well, that wasn't the response you should have had.
I think like an organic, you know. As I arrived at the conclusion, and then I also had the concept of the watcher, which I told you guys, you know, me watching myself, you know, but to, like, always having a friend with me that is basically me saying, is this you?
Yeah.
Is this the person you are?
Steve, there was an old Martin Short character, and I forgot his name, but it would always be like, I'm not being defensive, you're being
defensive. Always sweaty with the cigarette, like 60 minutes, and I'm not crazy, you're crazy.
You're crazy, right?
It's him, right?
Is it him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people can get angry over, you know, a zillion things. For me, I think it's like people that...
That give you dream catchers as gifts.
Exactly. That is the worst gift you could give someone, okay? But
what is this book on Zen?
No, there's actually a Philadelphia writer, and I wish I could remember her name, but who wrote it. But she wrote an article one time on people that make you angry. And basically her main point of the article was, don't let someone else determine your mood for the day. And I swear to God, I think that. Every day.
That's the traffic when on in my car. Mm-hmm. That's what did it for me. The one day is somebody really did a dick maneuver on the road, and I carried it with me for hours in the rest of the day. And I'm like, wait a minute, this person who I will never meet again for the rest of my life has ruined my day.
And
I've carried it around.
And they're off probably having a nice lunch. And,
right?
And you're the one
who's
carrying all this luggage for nothing.
And
it'll change nothing. Yeah. It's a waste.
Yeah. So that's why I always go back. Like, if someone is making me angry, I always think that. And I'm like, you know what? Just because that person's, you know, being a jerk or they're not having a good day, it's not going to make my day bad.
Now, I will admit that I have had a couple of moments post my aha moment, which was, But it wasn't me getting mad at someone else or anything like that. Look, as soon as I played the song, the aha video came up on our monitors here in the studio. I'm making burgers for dinner, and I pick up one of the hamburgers, which had been, I was using a frozen burger patty, and it had thawed out, and I pick it up, and it broke in half, and half of it fell on the floor. I started mother effing all over the place. And I did a reality check. Why are you mad right now? And I go, that's a pretty good reason to be mad.
Yes.
Because it was my fault that I could be mad at me for
own it. Yeah. You own it. Yeah. Give yourself permission to be upset. You were looking forward to that hamburger. You didn't want half a hamburger.
Exactly. Listen, there's validity to all of your emotions. And that's, you know, another thing that Inside Out kind of teaches you. Is that, listen, you wouldn't have that anger emotion if you weren't supposed to have it, right? But it's how you act on it. So, yeah, when a half of your burger that you worked so hard on and it looked so delicious fell on the ground, yes, be upset. But don't kick the dog over it.
Right, exactly.
Not when you have a cat.
You don't want to turn your anger on to someone else.
They go
redirecting
farther.
It. Let me go to, I'm curious to this call. Mr. S, it says on my screener. Hi, you're on the air, sir.
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas. How you doing?
Same to you. Doing well. What's up, buddy?
Well, look, I wanted to call. I did this anger management thing when I was back when I was 10, and then I had to do it again when I was an adult. I think the bottom line is that they ask you to deny all your primal, you know, your primal urges. We're all basically cavemen in 2019. And I think that's the most difficult thing. I think one of the other callers, one of you guys said that they ask you to smash all this down and it's no good. Yeah. To this day, I still get the crazy thoughts. But I don't go around whacking people in the head with the baseball bat anymore.
Why,
That's the bottom line. I think about it. I get upset because, let's admit it, there's a lot of stupid people. And it's going to happen. So, but, you know, I think Kathy said I'm not going to let them ruin my day. So I think about it. I have some hostile fantasies. Enjoy that for a few minutes. And then I go about my business. But I'm not going to deny all my primal urges.
Mr. S, do you currently have someone locked in your basement?
Well, that's why I'm Mr. S.
No.
Nobody's asking you to deny your primal urges.
No.
It's to have self-control.
Control.
Well, see, that's the thing, the acting out on. That's what ruins our day.
Yes.
So we can have the thoughts because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But when you start denying the fact that we can have the thoughts and those feelings, that's when the explosive stuff really starts.
Okay, so there's to that point, if you've ever seen the science fiction movie Forbidden Planet, there's a race of, so they go to the planet. The planet's, you know, there was a civilization that was wiped out, and so there was the creature were called the Krell, and they own the planet, and then they set up this device that could, so you could, if you wanted to move a heavy weight somewhere to another place, you could just imagine, and the power these generators they created would do that, and so you could materialize anything you needed or all that stuff. What they forgot though is that we all have those primal things. So when they activated the machine, in one day, the entire population let loose all of their inner demons and what they think about from moment to moment. I'd like to kill this guy, and wiped out the entire species.
Wow. Right?
And so, yes, we all have those. It's keeping it in check.
Right. By the way, and I wanted to go back to Mr. Smith or Mr. S.
Yeah, me too.
The last part of it said he still keeps a baseball bat with him.
Yeah.
It said on our phone screener.
So he's still listening.
I get angry at people, but I don't have the thoughts to beat them over the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah, there might be some deeper-seated things. Listen, he went to therapy when he was 10 years old.
Yeah.
He may have had some,
and then he was in the major leagues for a while.
He may have had some bad things happen.
Mr. S., if you could do me a favor and just send me an email. Let me know where you live and the things that you like to do, the places you go, so I can make sure I don't go there anymore. Just on the off chance.
Let me go to, let's see, we have a number. Then the reason we got started on this conversation was Alec Baldwin is going to anger management. It's court ordered. And Casey was curious if that actually works. And I'd have a hard time seeing like just a handful of weeks really changing your life. You never know. For some people, it might do that.
I think it's a way you adopt, the way you adopt something like AA. You know, at least that's what my friend who went through it described it as. It's you're not just, I'm cured. It gives you a skill set that you carry with you as you deal with life. And he found it very productive.
I will go next to Ethan. Hi, Ethan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everything?
Good. What's up, Ethan?
So I just wanted to say that I feel like I used to have, problems controlling my emotions, especially when it came to dealing with other people.
Yeah.
But it's like you guys were saying, it's like, why am I going to let somebody else control my life, control my emotions, when I'm never going to meet them, when they're not important in my life? So I've come to the realization that if anybody is going to piss me off, I feel like I'm only going to let it be family. It's family's opinion who's the only one who really matters.
Your point is it's easier to beat them up because they're right in the house.
Yeah.
No. You know the phrase that I've heard, Ethan, and people say it, and I think it's a very valid phrase, is you're letting this person rent space in your brain.
Ooh, I like that.
You're letting this person, and why? Why are you doing that?
Exactly. It makes no difference. And I'm never gonna interact with, with strangers. Like, even coworkers, even if they piss me off, they don't really piss me off. Right? It's just frustrating, and it'll pass in like 5 minutes because that's the kind of guy I am. I don't care about what anybody says.
And also, if you see it as a sort of egotistical thing, as a self-involved thing, that this is, that you raise it to this level of anger.
But Ethan, were you in anger management?
I was never in it, but I was close to going. But then when I kind of had that epiphany, I was just like, let me just take a step back myself.
Okay.
And I never really needed to.
Okay.
To go, like, yeah.
Can you do that online? An online school? Online management class?
All right, well, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, we keep referring to the Take on Me by A-ha, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but Weezer dropped an album last night, early this morning, and there's a cover of that song by Weezer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got the.
Don't tell us we don't know what's going on.
I got all that coming up in music.
Okay.
Later, yeah. But yes, absolutely. Let me see what else. No. I'm going to go
Wait,
to
Mort from We from A-ha is on line three.
No, he's not. Mort.
That's
Mort.
His name, right? The lead singer.
Is it really?
Yeah. Check it serious? Out, Nick. I think all it's right.
Please. Mort from Sweden?
Is
aren't
he Swedish?
Are they Swedish?
Yeah, I think, are they Swedish or German? I don't know.
They are Norwegian.
Norwegian.
And, yeah, the Morten Harkett. And Magna for Holman and Paul Wackerkauer.
So how do you know those guys?
Yeah.
Nick, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you. I heard a lot of the calls that were coming in. We're talking about how you can kind of control it by yourself, but a lot of that is actually physical, and I wanted to talk about my experiences with that.
All right, so
yeah, please.
Real quick, though, have you been through anger management or therapy?
Yes, okay. I'm currently doing both.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
So for me, and for a lot of people, I want to say it's physical, meaning for me, I actually suffer from bipolar disorder, which oftentimes you can have a lot of outbursts of anger and things like that when it's uncontrolled. What people I don't think realize is that's a very physical illness. And what happens is you'll have these moments or these time periods. It could last a day. It could be a few hours. It could be, it varies, but you'll have these moments where you're in really, really high highs. You're really manic. You feel really good. Nothing can knock you down. And then after a few days, your serotonin levels drop dramatically up to about 40%. So you get into a deep, dark lull, and you get really anxious, really depressed, and a lot of times that anxiety can turn into anger. You just kind of hold it all in. You get really, your heart rate starts to speed up, and you don't really have that ability to think before you do things. And that's why medicine can be very, very important for those
right.
for those types
yeah.
of illnesses.
All right. So and you've had good luck?
Oh, for sure. No, I wouldn't say luck, though. It's been a lot of practice since I was a kid.
All right.
A lot of therapy, a lot of medicine.
And you would say you're in a good place now?
For sure.
All right. Excellent.
Absolutely.
All right.
Can I ask what type of medicine did you take?
I take medicine. Actually, it's been a long road ever since I was a kid. So I've probably been on, I actually had to take a count of this the other day. I think I've been on about 16 different medicines since I was 12 years old. I'm now 27.
Any Imodium?
Sometimes.
That's my favorite. Yeah.
For the side effects, yeah.
No, I would imagine that there's a lot of trial and error in finding the proper
and
medication.
You also have to watch out. You don't want to be a drugged up zombie, and that can happen
exactly.
as well.
All right,
when I was a kid, that was a big problem. They kind of just throw everything at you and
see
what sticks.
You got to take ownership of it.
Yep. Well, glad you're doing better, Nick. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Sorry, I had a bubble in my throat.
I couldn't even notice.
Sorry about that. That's
busting us all.
I like pudding. I found the most angry I got this past year, and it goes back to the control issue.
Yes.
And I mean, embarrassed, but I got really mad watching Eagles games, and it's because I literally have zero control over anything that happens in the game. And so when
you figured that out.
No, it's not that I figured it out, but when calls by the referees are either made or not made that I feel like they should have been,
right.
Like I was getting really, really mad, and I'm able to meter my reactions when I'm around my children or just children in general. But like when, I'm in a crowd, I lost my stuff. And, the other point I was going to make, with control is also like when a play happens on the field and let's say, a receiver's going out to catch a pass and our defender's right there and I'm like, turn around, just turn around. You can turn around. And you'll be able to block the ball. And he doesn't. And it's because I have zero control over
that
situation.
That's also just standard enthusiasm for you're swept up in it. You're not. I don't think you're driven to rage, right? You wouldn't say that.
Oh no, you should have heard me at the Texans game. There was legit rage. Going
okay,
on.
Yeah. All right.
I would imagine that part of that though is because game day starts off as The world is your oyster. Opportunity. Mm-hmm. How happy am I and excited? We're going to win today.
Yeah.
This is going to be freaking awesome. And it doesn't go that way. Mm-hmm. And that is the trigger that goes from how excited and happy you are to how disappointed.
And it's a wide mood swing.
Yeah. And us as a fan base have no control over anything. You know, the only people that have any control whatsoever are the people that are actually on the field.
You have control over your anger, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't mean this in a mean way, Casey, but that's insane. You know, that's a terrible way to look at sports. You should get enjoyment out of it, not anger and frustration. I've been there, but like you have to evolve away from the anger because it destroys. Like, you getting that frustrated and angry at a football game is a waste.
I'm gonna go to John on the phone lines. He's probably been pissed off. He's probably because he's been on hold for 25 minutes. So.
Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So you went through anger management.
Yeah, about 14 years ago, I went through kind of a nasty divorce. Ex-wife accused me of everything under the sun, and everything she accused, they kind of went with and just ordered me into some other program.
Okay.
But as far as the anger management goes, it was interesting because you got to see perspectives from other people.
Yeah.
And other people's perspectives of themselves. And, like, it was funny because, like, some people have no insight into themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And were there saying, like, I don't need anger management, but they're saying it where they're screaming and cursing. And
yeah.
Then they're
like Kathy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're telling stories of slapping coffee out of somebody's hand because he made the last cup and didn't make another pot.
Yes, right. And they feel justified in that.
Exactly. And so, like...
I just came back from complaining about the coffee pot.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't slap coffee out of someone's hands, or I just pissed in the carafe.
At the time, I mean, I was kind of going through a lot, and so I was tending to be a little more angry. But then as I started to see what other people were going through, it kind of eased that amount that, like, I didn't feel like I'm the only person going through this.
And that's why those groups, you know, your people fight tooth and nail. My brother, you know, he when he finally ended up in AA and sat around with a group of people experiencing the same thing, and you realize there's a collective experience that's going on, it helps put it in perspective. Part of the anger and angst and all that stuff is predicated on you feeling alone. I'm the only person going through this. And when you hear similar stories, you can start to open up and hopefully, tap into it. How are you doing now? Are you doing well, do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, you tend to lose it from time to time.
Yes, everyone does.
I commute, so I drive for like an hour and a half to work. And it's funny because that's like my time to get it out. While I'm in the car, I'll scream and yell and get it all out. And then when I get to where I'm going, I'm good.
Well, if I may suggest something, this might help you. Volvo has autonomous level 3 driving. Keystone. No.
And a radio.
So listen. No, yeah. Honestly, I can imagine how many tirades occur every morning during the commute. Thank Christ we are hours ahead of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. When we're on vacation and you actually do drive around in morning rush hour, you realize the misery people are going through, and our hearts go out to you every day.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate it. There's a line from Synchronicity, too, from the police that says, packed like lemmings into shiny metal boxes.
Yes,
that's people sitting in traffic right there, so it can be hard. Difficult to hang on. I'm going to go to this caller, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, what are you pissed off about?
I'm not pissed off about anything right now.
Why not?
Because I just won $1,000.
We got a winner for MMR's Go Fund Yourself campaign. That's all you got to do is just win money from our contest.
Why didn't we give this advice earlier?
Why don't we just give everybody listening No, we can't do that.
We can't.
We are giving certain callers, certain people who enter in, who are chosen at random via MMR's mobile app or WMMR.com, $1,000 in cash, and that includes Jeremy. Nice little surprise this morning, right, Jer?
Absolutely.
All right, where are you from, by the way?
Dover, Delaware.
All right. And hey, listen, by the way, it's not over. You could still win $10,000. Even our $1,000 winners are still registered for the $10,000 grand prize. So hang in there on that one. All right, my man?
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
Congratulations.
Cheer for Jeremy, everybody. Our winner. Pierre. Go fund yourself. That next is awesome. Opportunity is coming up at 11 a.m. with one Mr. Pierre Robert. So, listen, thank you for the phone calls. I thought it was interesting because Casey, when we were doing the celebrity news, brought it up with the question, does anger management really work? And Nick said that the text started going through the roof, so we figured it'd be worth exploring. So we appreciate the phone calls. And I'm sorry if we didn't get to you, Ray. I know you're on hold for a long time. I apologize.
I can't stand this show.
I know, but we got a break because we have some guests who are going to be joining us shortly. Richard Roundtree.
Yeah,
Shaft himself.
Shaft knows how to handle anger.
Is going to be here in our studio along with actor Aldis Hodge. What Men Want premieres February 8th. We'll talk to those guys when we return. Stay with us.
Get the whole Preston and Steve Show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.